This 30-week series is a series to anchor the whole church and every member of your family in 30 big ideas found in the Bible. It's divided into three categories, and we will cover in these first 10 messages 10 key beliefs of the Christian faith. We'll follow that the beginning of next year with 10 key practices of a Jesus follower, and then 10 key virtues of a person who is becoming more like Jesus. In other words, we're trying to, first of all, make sure we understand what it is we believe and why we believe that, but we want to move it from our heads, because that only makes us an intellectual believer, giving us many beliefs. We want to move it from our head to our hands and to our feet, to our hearts, to make us believers, those who would live what we believe. We've discovered so far the God of the Bible is the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in community. We've also discovered He's a personal God. He did not create this world nor us and then just wind us up like a toy and let us go to see where it all ends. He cares and loves each of us very, very much. He wants us to draw near to Him, to be close to Him. He created us to have a personal relationship, a one-on-one relationship with Him. Much like Moses, not only Adam and Eve, but much like Moses enjoyed in his tent of meeting outside the camp, where he would go, and the Bible says he met with God face to face as a friend meets with a friend. That's what God desires for us. But our choice to follow our own way instead of God's way is sin. And sin broke that personal relationship with God. And so we looked last week of how God provided a way back into His grace, a way of salvation, and that way is through His Son, Jesus Christ. Today, chapter 4, we take a look at what we believe about the Bible. The Bible is an incredible book, to say the least. Over 100 million copies are still sold or given away each year. The Gideons give away a Bible every second. Today, with Bible software for our computers, Bibles online, e-readers, Kindles, Bible apps for our smartphones, Androids, and iPads, I guess with all that, there are more access to the Bible than most of us can imagine. I have the Bible on my phone, and I've noticed a lot of other people do as well, and on your iPads. I encourage that. That's great. Keep it with you. You maybe can't take your Bible to the workplace or to the school. You can take your phone. Just saying. In an American Bible Society survey last year, 88% of respondents said they own a Bible. 80% believe the Bible is sacred. 61% wish they read the Bible more. And the average American home has 4.4 Bibles. How many of you have at least four Bibles around your house? Yeah. Doug Birdsall of the American Bible Society says, and let me tell you, this hurts me to say this, our relationship with the Bible is analogous with the problem of obesity in America. People realize they are overweight, but they won't follow a diet. Now that's what you call quit preaching and gone to meddling. But he said that to add this. People realize the Bible has values that would help us in our spiritual health, but they just don't read it. So what do people do with God's Word? Well, I think there are three basic responses. Some people are simply, believe it or not, just unaware of God's Word. And that's becoming a growing reality in the United States today. Hard to believe, but the Bible is commonplace all around us, but it's not read at home. It's been taken out of the schools, government, and the workplace. Mass media, as well as social media for that matter, ignores the Bible except to make fun of it or to show contempt for it. And worst of all, many churches don't believe it, preach it, or teach it anymore. I shared before of one of the several times that Sandy Behrens invited me to be in one of the community plays. We've been in several. And one of them had a Sunday afternoon matinee. Everyone in the cast knew I was a preacher. I know that shocks you. But everyone knew long before then that I was a preacher in town. And as we were getting ready for that Sunday afternoon matinee, one of the high school girls asked me what I preached about that morning. I told her I had just preached about the 23rd Psalm. And this high school student, raised in a local Muhammad church her whole life, said to me, as serious as a heart attack, "What's that?" Let me say this graciously. If I had my child in a church her whole life and she didn't know what the 23rd Psalm was, I'd find my family another church. Consequently, when people are unaware of God's Word, they don't know about the Christian faith, not really, or a biblical worldview, or what God's Word can do for them. And isn't that the character that was portrayed as Josh's girlfriend in the movie God's Not Dead? She was a Christian too, wasn't she? Remember? Shouldn't she have been taking that stand with Josh for God? But like so many, she actually encouraged him to just sign the paper, let's get on with our lives, and stop embarrassing himself and her. She said, "It's not a big deal. Just tell the world God is dead and go on." A lot of people are just unaware. A second group, another group of people, don't just ignore God's Word, they reject it. We see a growing movement in our nation to limit or to remove Christian influence in our society. But that should be no surprise to us. Paul warned Timothy in his second letter, "For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires, and they will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear." There are those who just reject it. Well, hopefully we fall into that third group, those who believe it and accept it as the Word of God. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. John, one of Jesus' closest disciples, wrote this as he began to close his gospel account of Jesus' life and ministry. John 20:31, "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." People who take God's Word to heart, people who accept it as God's Word and guide for their life, receive a new life in Christ. And we live by the Word of God. We read it, we study it, we learn more and more about it, so we can better understand it and apply it to our daily lives. I hope that's the group you're in. In preparing for this message, I did a quick Google of why people don't read the Bible. There were many answers given, but almost all of them fit into one of these three categories. The first was, "I don't have time." Now, that's grouped in with a lot of this rationale. I don't have time, it's too big. It's too overwhelming to understand. It's too confusing. I don't have time for all that. A second group is those that would say, "I'm not smart enough." And their big escape for that is, "That's why we hired a preacher." Well, you might have got short end of that deal. "I'm not smart enough, but that's okay because I go to church every Sunday." Well, almost every Sunday. "Well, I go to church a lot." Okay, I go sometimes. "And when I go, there's this preacher that we pay every week to explain all that to us. I'm not smart enough." And a third excuse is it's irrelevant. It seems so irrelevant to my life. It's so old. It doesn't... Here's what it really means when we say it seems irrelevant. It doesn't confirm what I believe. I don't agree with it. That's what people mean when they call the church almost every week and ask, what does your church believe? Now, what's that question really asking? Do you believe what I believe? Let's make a song. Do you believe what I believe? It seems so irrelevant to my life, and that means that should I read it, should I accept it, should I try to live by its guidelines and standards, I might have to change. So it seems so irrelevant. Irrelevant. Well, let me give you the quick answers to those excuses, and then let me give you a cold, hard truth. And then we'll finish up, I hope, with some helpful encouragement. First of all, we all have 24 hours in each day. No one has any more, and no one has any less. And we all make time for what is important to us. We are all masters at shuffling our calendars and our checkbooks when we really want something. With the world falling apart, with our economy on life support, with racism reborn, life seemingly upside down at every turn, and even with the Pope visiting, even the President of the United States can still make time to play golf. We all have time for what's important to us. Secondly, with the exception of the few babies maybe in the room, everybody in this room is smarter than Peter was. I love Peter. He's a human. He's so much like us. But everybody around them knew they were just ignorant and unlearned men. You know far more than Peter did in almost every aspect of life. And Peter was one of the 12 that turned this world upside down for Jesus. So don't say you're not smart enough. You don't have to be a theologian to get into God's Word, and you don't have to be an apostle for God's Word to get into you. Let's be honest. If you don't read your Bible, it's probably because you don't want to read your Bible. And to bottom line this further, that's indicative of your relationship with God. We cannot separate a love for the Word of God and the God of the Word. When I was in college, my first year, I was a year ahead of Barbie. Well, I always was a year ahead of Barbie. That kind of sounded like she called up, doesn't it? Which wouldn't have been very hard. But that first year, when I went off to Bible college and Barbie was still in her senior year at high school, I kid you not, you can ask her this. Every single day, 7 days a week, she wrote me a letter. Now, that meant that at college, every day in my mailbox, there was a letter. Now, how many of you remember those days in college when you wished there was something in your mailbox? Every day. And on Monday, I had two because they didn't deliver on Sunday. And I just can't tell you, I love those letters. Every day, it just meant so much. And one of the cute things about it is that, like, you know, we have those Connect cards in our bulletin for you put your name and all that stuff on. Well, this was back in the day when we had the pew cards. And Barbie used to take those and make notes of Wayne Smith's sermons every Sunday. So on Monday, one of those letters had the outline to Wayne's sermon. I still have those cards. I've preached a few of those. I made them a little better. No, I'm just kidding. But can you imagine how that felt for a freshman in college every single day? Can you imagine how that made other folks around me feel? Now, how do you think that would have gone over if I went to the mailbox and I got a letter that I said, oh yeah, another letter from Barbie, and threw it in a pile with a bunch of other letters from Barbie? I mean, really, how would that go over? Barbie maybe calls later and says, did you get my letters? Yeah, I got them over there. you read them? I will. But right now I don't have time. I'm not smart enough to figure out what all you're trying to say, Barbie. Now that's probably true. Exactly. Exactly. And yet God has given us an incredible love letter. And we put it on the shelf with the other books. Well, that leads me to this cold, hard truth. Are you ready? Remember how much God wants that personal relationship with us? Remember how much God has done so that we can have that personal relationship? Well, the truth is, what most of us have is a dysfunctional relationship with God. You see, man doesn't get to make the rules. God does. It's irrelevant to your life because you're not willing to live by His rules. Who hasn't grown up in a household that didn't at least once say, "As long as you're in my house"? That's right, that's right. We didn't sit around my house on Saturday nights and pray about whether we were going to go to church on Sunday morning or not. As long as you're in my house, guest or family, you will get up and go to church with us on Sunday. If you absolutely refuse to do that, then when we leave, I'm going to set you out on the porch and lock the house up. Because I don't trust you in my house if you ain't willing to go to church with me. Our thinking suggests that we get all confused. Listen, man did not create God. We've been trying to for years. But the truth of the matter is, God created man. And you know what? You cannot assume God sees things your way. We cannot assume that we should try or that we could make Him see that our ways would be better than His way. Consider Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 again. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." Wow, right up front he says, look, I know we don't think alike. "Nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Not only do we not always see eye to eye, sometimes we're not even looking in the same direction. That's why you need to understand, you need to look God's way. But did you get that? God's thoughts, God's ways, they won't always affirm what you believe. But I've always thought, I've always heard, I was raised to believe. I think in my heart. But God's ways will not always confirm what you believe. And yes, to accept God's Word as the guide for your life, you will need to make some life changes. But He's here with so much help for you to do that. And believe me, those changes will be so much better for your life than you can imagine. In reality, most Christians want a Bible that looks like this one on the screen. Worn down, marked up, paired with a journal, stuffed with multicolored spiritual reflections in the margins. Those are the kind of Bibles that our mothers and grandmothers used to have. And some of us in this room still have them. But most Christians want a Bible that looks like that. But that's often not the case. Many Christians find their Bible really looks more like this one. How do we change that? How do we get past all the excuses and obstacles that keep us from a passionate desire for God's Word? Blessed is he who hungers and thirsts for righteousness. How do we get to that? Or for some, how do we get back to that? How can we get past how big and how complicated the Bible is? Well, the story is told of the night the Green Bay Packers lost an away game they were supposed to win handily. After the team took the long, quiet bus ride back home, legendary coach Vince Lombardi made the players put their sweaty uniforms back on and march them out onto Lambeau Field. The coach huddled them together, and then he held up a pigskin, egg-shaped object high in the air, and he said, "Gentlemen, this is a football." Vince Lombardi knew one of the fundamentals of winning a football game is having a firm grasp on the basics. So, in the spirit of an unforgettable night in a bitterly cold Wisconsin, I hold up a black leather book with onion skin pages, and I declare to you, ladies and gentlemen, this is a Bible. Knowing with confidence this book is the Word of God. Believing it contains God's truth and God's will for our lives, and knowing how to read and understand it for ourselves is as basic to the Christian life as a football is to the game of football. So, here are the basics. A great starting place for many, I hope a great review for others. First of all, get out of your head that the Bible is a book. When you look at the Bible that way, it is overwhelming. It is big. And when you see the Bible as a book, you get in your mind that it begins with Genesis and ends with Revelation, so you think you have to read it that way for it to make sense. Truth is, the Bible is not a book. It is a library of 66 books. And it's not arranged beginning from the beginning to end like a novel would be. It's arranged like any library would be. There are two main sections in this library. I've got a little drawing on your outline there. You want to fill those in. Two main sections to this library, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament has 39 books in it, and the New Testament has 27 books in it. And interestingly, both sections can be arranged into five other sections. Not always in chronological order, not always by author, and certainly not alphabetically. At the public library or at the school library, even in our church library, the books are arranged in categories. Reference books over here. Historical books over here. Fiction books back along that wall. How-to and self-help books are all gathered together here. Biographies and autobiographies are over in this section. And so in the Bible library, they are arranged like this. In the Old Testament section, we have five books of the law. Now that's the law of Moses, the law that Moses received after leading Israel out of Egypt from slavery and toward the promised land. It covers from the creation of everything until he received the law coming out of Egypt. Those are followed by 12 books of history. Now that's not world history. That's the history of the nation of Israel from the time Moses handed the reins over to Joshua on into the promised land and all through their history until their captivities. It takes you from a time period under Joshua where God blessed them with victory after victory, prosperity after prosperity, blessing after blessing, much like early American history. And then you see the people whining that they didn't want God to be the main man anymore. They wanted to do it themselves, so they wanted a king. But God said, no kings, but I will give you judges. And so you have a couple of periods there of judges that rule over them. And that was okay for a while, but we're never satisfied for long, are we? And we kept begging and whining and complaining. We wanted a king like everybody else around us. And so then you go through a period of the kings. And the chronicles that follow them are the chronicles of the kings. And then you see how Israel just falls apart. Now, at the end of that, Esther is the last book of that. That's telling us a story of what life was like during the captivity after Israel lost everything. And once you get past that, the history of Israel is over. There's nothing else written in the Old Testament after Esther. Nothing. Everything else that follows fits up into those other time periods. You go into the books of poetry and the books of wisdom, the Psalms, Song of Solomon, Proverbs. All of those were written during the period before it in those other books. David was a king, so I imagine his Psalms were written during what period in the other books? Kings. You see what I'm saying? And then you go into a time period of prophets. Major prophets, minor prophets. Not because one's more important or less important, but because of the size of the books and the record of their ministries that we have. That's the Old Testament. Keep that in mind. Because then you move to the New Testament and we have those five sections. First, you begin with the four books of the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's the story of the life, ministry, and death, burial, resurrection, and promised coming again of Jesus Christ. Then you have one book of history, the book of Acts, the history of the church, how the Holy Spirit got a hold of people and turned the world upside down for Jesus. And then that's followed by 13 letters of Paul. Paul wrote so much of the New Testament, those are all put together under Paul's writings. Some of those letters he wrote to people. Some of those letters he wrote to churches. And then there are eight other general letters. John, Peter, Jude, James. They all have letters that are included. And then, of course, the Bible ends with that final section, the one book of prophecy, the Revelation. Now, that's the five sections in each of those two sections of your Bible. Now, there should also be an insert there that has the Bible book case, has those books all listed out there for you. It's all very convenient, actually. So, having said that, just understand that. But this is not a book. That's a library of 66 books, and that's how this library is arranged. Having said that, where do you begin? Well, listen, when you begin to read this Bible, think of going to the Bible library. What information do you need today? Where in this library would you find the answers to your specific question or search or your desire, your need? Or do you really just want a good book to read? You're looking for a romance, perhaps? A book of war and battle and conflict? A historical book, perhaps? Or maybe looking for some answers to some tough life questions? It's okay. It's all in this wonderful library. Learn it, and you will love it. Love it, and you will live it. So third, where can you get help understanding the Bible once you get into it? Once you get into this library and you kind of narrow down what it is you're looking for, how do you get help understanding that? You remember Philip met the eunuch on the highway, and Philip asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I understand unless somebody explains it to me?" Well, here are some suggestions. Sunday school and adult Bible fellowship. Great time of getting into the Bible together. See, the cool thing about church for me is I get to preach, you get to listen and take notes or draw pictures and write love letters. But in Bible school classes, you get to talk about it. You get to apply it. You get to question and you get to share. If you're not in Sunday school or ABF, get your family there next Sunday. Small groups. Get into a small group. Man, we love our small groups. We went out to lunch, dinner, whatever. We went out to eat, but just part of our small group. And I promise you, I have never laughed so hard in all my life. at each other, at the world. It's so good to be able to ask questions and share thoughts and realize I'm not the dummy I thought I was. Youth groups, get your children into youth groups. Support groups, we have several around the church that will help you in many areas. And hey, having talked about the Bible library, how about the church library? Rita, where are you? Rita's our church librarian, among many other things. You would not believe how incredible that library is. If you haven't been there, how many of you don't even know where the church library is? Couple, three, four. Well, Rita will give you a tour after church today. You got time to stay and give a tour if anybody wants it? You catch Rita. It's great. We have things for children, for adults, for general reading, for Bible study, for preparation of your lessons. We have videos. Well, I guess they're discs now. And there are all kinds of Bible aids, commentaries, Bible maps, Bible dictionaries. And you have the family of God. Ask a Christian friend that you admire, look up to. Ask a Sunday school teacher. Ask an elder. Yes, ask one of the pastors. Not saying any of us have all the answers, just saying all of us would be willing to help you find them. Let me close with this. When people call here, and I've shared this before, when people call here and ask me, what does your church believe? I always tell them, hey, we just believe one thing. We believe the Bible is the Word of God. We believe that the Bible is all sufficient. It's all we need for faith and practice. That means for what we believe and how we live. If the Bible says it, I believe it. That settles it. Father God, in that clip, though the sound was not there, I know we could see and sense the joy, the excitement, and literally how overwhelmed these Chinese Christians were to have a Bible. The expression she spoke, this is what we needed the most. You could see them hugging it, kissing it, tears. I pray, Father, we will again rekindle a passion and a desire to have Your Word, not to decorate our shelves or to weigh down pages, not to press leaves and photographs, but to read, to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not be ashamed, that we might truly grasp with our hearts that all Scripture is God-breathed. That it is profitable. It's good to help us grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, even if it means rebuking as well as teaching. It's there to comfort and to guide. It's there to correct. It's there to lead. Help us, Father, not only to be more determined to get into Your Word, but to open our lives, our hearts and minds, and ask Your Holy Spirit to be with us as we do all of that, so that Your Word can get into us. Your Scripture asks a couple of very important questions. How shall they believe except they hear? And how shall they hear except someone tell them? And Your Word tells us that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We just sang, and Father, I would echo it. Word of God, speak. In Jesus' name, amen. If His Word is speaking to your heart today and there's a decision you need to make,